Here's a confusing reality about New Hampshire politics today. There are more Democratic voters in the state than ever. But despite that shift, the balance of power in the state legislature has pretty much stayed Republican. And there's a reason for this. An invisible force that drives everything in politics that you probably won't hear mentioned on the campaign trail, redistricting. As part of NHPR's State of Democracy, Natasha Haverty looks at how a few lines on a map can hold such power.
When he was a kid, politics shaped Jay Flanders' life. His dad was state treasurer, so after school was spent running around the halls of the state house. As an adult, Jay Flanders is a guy who actually shapes politics. He's not the guy that likes to be out front. He prefers to do his business back in the proverbial smoke-filled room.
First of all, there's no smoking in the state house, so there's no smoke-filled rooms. Not anymore.
Flanders was Senate Chief of Staff for the Republican majority. He's consulted on campaigns, and he's agreed to meet me at this coffee shop in Concord to talk about a part of politics that chances are doesn't come up at your dinner table. The intricate, obscure process of political redistricting. Or the story of how Republicans gerrymandered New Hampshire's Senate map. It's okay. We can say it. Gerrymandering. Flanders says it.
Gerrymandering may be distasteful. In the more extreme cases, it is hardcore bare-knuckle politics, but everyone agreed the map was going to change.
So let's set the scene. 2010, Tea Party outrage helps Republicans sweep the New Hampshire State House, one of the starkest political flips any state makes. Republicans come out of that with the biggest state house majority they've had in a generation.
A new era of government in Concord as new members of the House and Senate were sworn into office.
That was also the year of the census, when a state gets new numbers about who and how many people it has and redraws its political map to reflect those shifts. And in New Hampshire, it's the party in power that holds the pen. Translation, a big political opportunity for the new Republican majority. They got to draw fresh maps for the House, the Senate, and the Executive Council. The Senate map was Flanders' job.
Republican senators wanted a map that would continue to elect Republican senators.
And this is not a moment that attracts protests on the State House lawn, but this may be the most important thing Republicans get to do that term, drawing the political map that'll be in play for the next decade. So Flanders and his team get to work, following the few rules the state constitution lays out. Cut the state into 24 pieces, one district for every Senate seat, each with roughly the same amount of people in it, and don't break up the towns.
We blew up a map of the state of New Hampshire to, I think it was like 3 by 5 feet, and it had the population of each town printed on it.
Flanders says it wasn't simple getting to a map that met the wants and needs of 24 elected senators, plus other members of the Republican Party, outside operatives. You had to factor in some horse trading.
Somebody saying, I need this town, and the other guy saying, I need this town, and fighting over. And if they did, they had to figure out how to work that out behind the scenes.
But the Republicans got their map and enough votes to pass it.
It was signed into law, and we had an election, and everybody went on with their life.
And that next election in 2012, even though Democratic Senate candidates actually won more votes, Republicans held on to their majority. In other words, the people of New Hampshire leaned one way, but the Senate went the other. So how did that happen? That's gerrymandering. Republicans drew a map to give their party the advantage, and they did it following the rules. Because here's the thing with gerrymandering. Even though the U.S. Supreme Court says it's unconstitutional and nearly every state has gone to court over it, turns out it's really hard to prove.
And that's a really urgent problem for our democracy.
Nick Stephanopoulos might have come up with a solution. He's a lawyer on a lot of gerrymandering cases and a redistricting expert at University of Chicago. He's got this formula to boil partisan gerrymandering down to one number.
We have a single number that tells us how severe is the gerrymander and who's benefited and who's hurt by it.
Stephanopoulos' formula relies on something he calls wasted votes, votes that had no impact on the outcome of an election. New Hampshire Public Radio took his formula and applied it to over 30 years of state Senate elections. And what we found was that in most elections since at least the mid-90s, Republicans have been gaining far more than their fair share of representation, which Stephanopoulos says means the voices of voters are getting more and more muffled.
And this means that there's a weaker connection than ever before in modern U.S. history between what voters want and then what voters are actually getting.
Again, this is what gerrymandering does. It sets up this alternate political reality. Take New Hampshire. We've gone from being solidly Republican to a true swing state. But the last few rounds of political maps pretty much ignore that. You see fewer and fewer swing districts. One of those last surviving purple patches is Senate District 12. Republicans and Democrats have traded wins there for the last four elections. But over that time, it's undergone some major surgery.
If you look at how it was redistricted, District 12 was redistricted to have a definite Republican advantage.
Democrat Peg Gilmore held the District 12 Senate seat twice, once before and once after the new map. The district used to be a big chunk of the city of Nashua, which leans Democrat, plus a few neighboring Republican-leaning towns. But after 2010, it was redrawn as this suburban, stretched-out district, taking out most of Nashua and attaching the town of Ringe way over in another county.
You can't get there from here.
Gilmore didn't like what the Republicans made out of the political map, but she says, given the chance, her party would do the same thing.
Doesn't matter. If it had been Democrats and they had done the same thing, it would be just as onerous. We really need, in my opinion, to take the redistricting out of the political process, out of the party process.
Gilmore's not the only one suggesting this solution. Hand over the job of drawing the new political map to an independent group of people who don't have any interest in getting elected. Six other states do it this way. More are considering it. A few months ago, I met attorney Paul Toomey in the halls of the Legislative Office Building. He'd just testified about why New Hampshire should set up an independent commission like that and was feeling pretty hopeful.
I do. I wouldn't bet my actual farm on it. I wouldn't bet any of my children on it.
Toomey was Democratic legal counsel in the State House, but he's been working pro bono on reforming redistricting for over a decade, trying to convince legislators that this is an issue both parties should be worried about.
I think everybody in there understands that people are disenchanted with what their government's doing, and this is one of the problems, that we have election results that don't follow the votes. The majority of the people will vote for one party and the other party has control of everything. That really isn't a democracy.
But the bill Toomey was pushing for that day, it didn't go anywhere. Because here's maybe the trickiest part of changing redistricting. When other states managed to get it out of the hands of politicians, voters and courts led the way. But here in New Hampshire, our system is set up so that it's the legislators, the ones who most stand to gain from gerrymandering, who have to make that change. They have to willingly give up power, which is hard to expect, even with the next round of redistricting still more than 4 years away. Who knows who'll be drawing that map? For New Hampshire Public Radio and State of Democracy, I'm Natasha Haverty.